Father, we thank you, Lord, again this morning. Glory to God. And as we go to share the word of God, as always, we invoke that light. You say the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. So let it be, even now. Just encouraging one another in the Lord, even this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, welcome again, everyone. It's a good thing to be here. I just want to give a short encouragement today. Nothing you've not already heard, but God might reveal something to you while we bring the encouragement. Remember, you know, we are here every morning by the grace of God, or every day, whatever time zone you're in. Thank you for joining this morning. Glad to see you here, Sister Titilayo and Sister Mary, everyone else that's here. God bless you. We will be sharing on the subject today of God's purpose and counsel for your life shall stand. Now that's God's purpose and counsel shall stand. Whatever God has proposed, his plans for your life, that shall stand. Now, of course, the enemy is going to try to have something to say about that and do something about it, but God's purpose will stand nonetheless. So that's going to be our encouragement this morning. We will share some scriptures, maybe one or two stories, then we are going to pray. Glory to God. So we are going to start here, and I want you to pay attention to these scriptures, because always we give scriptures to back up whatever we are saying, so that your confidence will be in the word of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 14 is where I will start this morning. And I'll be reading from verse 24 to about verse 27. And now this is God declaring his thoughts concerning his purpose and things of that nature to us. You know, so let's take it easy as we read this. Let it soak into our hearts so that we may understand what the Lord is saying. Isaiah 14 and verse 24. Thus saith the Lord himself. He said, the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand. That I will break the Assyrian in my land, and upon my mountains I will tread him underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart from off of them, or you, and his burden shall depart from off of your shoulders. Now this is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. For the Lord of hosts hath purposed. Glory to God. And who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? So let's consider what God is saying here. The Assyrian is like the oppressor. I mean, God, you know, he was speaking to their, you know, physical circumstances at the time. These were events. At the time that God was speaking to them, these were contemporary events that were happening there. At the time, they were being oppressed from different places. And, but generally speaking, when we look at it now and retrospect and read these things, well, we can apply the word of God prophetically to our situation. So for us, the Assyrian would represent the oppressor, and anything that the devil comes up with, you know, in order to frustrate the plan or purpose of God in our life, in order to put a yoke upon us and things like that, to bring distress, you know, to bring unrest, to bring trouble, adversity, and all these things, you know, that would be the Assyrian for us. But the Lord said, even as I have thought it, so shall it come to pass. As I have proposed, so shall it stand. I will break. Now, the Assyrian in your life. Let's put it that way. You know, and upon my mountains, I will tread him underfoot. And that ought to give us, you know, a reason to shout the glory, because the Lord already says he's going to do it. And his yoke. Now, a yoke is, you know, sometimes can be really burdensome. You know, they put, just put a yoke on the oxen so they can't turn this way and they can't turn that way. And they yoke a couple of oxen together, you know, to plow the field. And they really can't go any which way they want, you know, because the yoke has yoked them in and helped them in. The Lord said, look, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, in Matthew 11 and 28, you know, and I will give you rest. And he says, look, take upon you, you know, my yoke. Learn of me and so forth, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Glory to God. So my yoke, the yoke of the Lord is a different kind of yoke. And his burden is a different kind of burden. But take my yoke upon you. I will break the yoke of the Assyrian off of your neck. In exchange, I give you my yoke, which is easy, and my burden, which is light. Isaiah 46. And verses 9 through 11. I'm just going to give you first a few scriptures and then maybe tell one or two stories. And then we'll see what else the Lord might say. You know, again, this is the Lord encouraging us through his word. You know, sometimes the Lord tells us to forget the old things because he's going to do a new thing. Sometimes he calls to our remembrance, the old things, just to remind us of, you know, what he has done. This is one such place where I said, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying my counsel shall stand. And I will do all my pleasure, calling a ravenous bird from the east. You know, the man that executed my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it and I also will do it. Now, the Lord can use anything. He can use a ravenous bird, which is an unclean bird. Ravens are unclean birds, according to the scriptures. The Lord can use, you know, even someone that intends evil upon you and use that to bring to pass his purpose in your life. We'll see some examples in the Bible. You know, the Lord can use anything. And the great thing about the Lord is that he knows the end from the beginning. He has seen all things, you know. So if you already know what your enemy is going to do, you know, then you have the opportunity. In the Bible, you know, people used to go and spy out and, you know, where somebody is going to hide this and that and so forth. And they will warn, you know, one person. I mean, we saw that in the days of Syria versus, Israel. You know, Elisha, the prophet, would warn the king about all the ambushments that Syria is setting. And, you know, they would, you know, just escape to the point that his king would say, well, who is the traitor in our midst that is revealing our plans? You know, but the Lord is the one, he sees the end. So he gives a way of escape and so forth like that. Now, let me also say this right away, that, you know, if you play chess, which I used to play when I was a younger man, I haven't played for many years. But if you play chess, it's all about moves. It's all about computing and trying to figure out your opponent's move ahead of the move where they're about to make now. I mean, you're not just looking at one move that they're about to make. They're looking many moves ahead. And the great chess players, they can come in there, they can look at the landscape, they can compute every move that their opponent is going to make, even before they make it, several moves ahead. And in fact, they can make one move, checkmate their opponent right off the bat. And those are the really great minds. A checkmate is a move that you make, whereas that make puts your opponent in a check situation for every move that they make, which means they really can. If they make this move, they'll be in a check situation. If they make that move, they'll be in a check situation. If they make any other move, they'll be in a check. Check means they put their queen in danger, you know. And so if they cannot make any more moves that will get that queen out of that bind, then that's checkmate. And those great chess players, they can come in there and they can just make one move, checkmate their opponent right off the bat. Now, of course, if two great chess players are playing, it's not going to be like that. They play for days because they are trying to figure out the other person, you know. But the greater chess player playing with a very much less skilled player, they can checkmate them quickly. Now, consider the Lord. He's the master of the chess game. That's right. But the devil, see, the devil has no original moves. He can't do it. He's got to wait for you or the Lord to make a move and then try to foul it up. That's what he does. Doesn't have any original, has no originality within himself. Now, he has to wait. When God makes a move, then he tried to foul it up. And when God says, you know, I've set all these trees in place, you can eat all of them, you know, but not this one here, you know, you don't eat it of it, because the day you eat it, you'll die. And then he can wait, he has to wait for God to say that thing and then come there and try to mess it up. You know, everything that the devil does is right, you know, maybe on the heel of something that God has already done. He cannot do something first by himself. It's like something that's fake. A fake currency or a fake coin cannot precede the original. First, the original comes out. Then people try to, you know, make fake copies of it, you know, and so on. So, but on the other hand, the Lord does not have to wait for the devil to make any moves. He already knows every move that the devil is ever going to make. And God can checkmate the devil right off the bat. And in a sense, he has already done it. But, see, the Lord has just allowed the devil to do some things. And he's actually using the devil like a ravenous bird from the east to perform his will. As it is written in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, he says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called, see, according to his purpose. I mean, he's the one, I mean, he's got a purpose and he's got a plan, and he can make all the things, whether it are things that look good or not. As a matter of fact, this one is actually not talking about good things. This Romans 8:28. It's not talking about good things. If they were good things, there's no reason for him to say all things work together for good, because they're already good. So actually he's talking about even evil things and wicked plans of the devil against his purpose. Now remember, he mentions called according to his purpose. God has a purpose, and if you are love the Lord with your heart, all your heart, he is able to make all these things, no matter what the devil plans. You know, God will make everything come out according to God's own purpose for your life eventually. Now let's get back to this and read in Psalms 33 and verse 11. These are the, well, actually I will read maybe from verse 9 to give a little context. You know, so in Psalm 33, let me just read it from verse 9. 10 and 11 is really where I'm going. Let me read it from verse 9. Hallelujah. For the Lord spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the hidden to naught. Well, you can look at it this way. The Lord will bring the counsel of the enemy to nothing. He maketh the devices of the people and the wicked to be of none effect. Now, the counsel of the Lord, that standeth forever, even the thoughts of his heart to all generations. How does the Lord frustrate the tokens of the liars? He says that also in Isaiah. He talks about it in Isaiah 44, verses 24. He talks about he's the one that frustrates the tokens of liars. Every plan that the enemy would have to change things around and mess up God's plans in your life. Remember, the devil has to wait to see where that's going before he can try, you know, to come up against it. But God frustrates his plans. He say, I am the Lord, you know, in verse 25, that frustrated the tokens of the liars. Isaiah 44 and 25. And maketh diviners to be mad, and turneth wise men backward, and maketh their knowledge to be foolish. So all the plans of the enemy, just like he says in Job chapter 5 and verse 12. He says the Lord, you know, frustrates the devices, glory to God, of the enemy, so that their hands cannot perform any of their enterprise. And God will frustrate their plans, because God will make his own plans come out on top concerning your life, no matter whichever way the devil tries to do otherwise. Now let's read Proverbs, a few more verses to assure you that God knows what he's doing. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 21. There are many devices in a man's heart, whether the man is a good man or an evil person, but the counsel of the Lord, nevertheless, that shall stand. Many devices, even some of us sometimes, you know, we walk against ourselves. Sometimes we can be our own worst enemy. If we're not listening to the Lord and listening to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, you know, we may suffer some hurt along the way. But nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord shall stand. And especially, read this verse in a way against the plans of the enemy. There are plans in the heart of the devil concerning you. God will frustrate them. The counsel of the Lord will be the thing that will stand. And I love this verse that I often refer to and say, you know, Lamentation 3 and 37, I say, who is it that saith something and it comes to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? In other words, you cannot, you know, devise something and let it come to pass against those who are called according to God's purpose, unless the Lord has commanded it. He's the one that speaks and it is done. He's the one that commands and it stands fast. Anything else, unless he allows it, and he may allow it, even the ravenous bird, he may call them from the east. You know, he may do any of these things to bring to pass the goodness of his purpose in our lives. You know, so the Bible says in Jeremiah 29 and 11, my thoughts and my plans towards you are for good and never for evil, to give you an expected end. All the things that God doing for us, things that he has in purpose for us, it's according to his own will and according to his mercies. And we've covered mercy quite a bit in this room in previous weeks. Now, Let me just tell us, I won't read the story because we know the story, but I just want to bring out a few things from a couple of stories in the Bible and bring out a few other verses. And then we're going to come right back to some point blank promise for the Lord for you today. Now, so just about everybody in this room knows the story of Joseph in the Bible. Now, many things that the enemy would throw at you to steal, to kill, and destroy the purpose and the plans of God in your life. But no matter what, that purpose will stand. As long as you are diligent in observing the way of the Lord and keeping your path in his righteousness. Now, Joseph was a man that did not even have the law of Moses, you know, at the time, because Moses was not even born at the time that Joseph was in Egypt. But he had the law of God was in his heart, and he would not do anything against the law of his God. So he knew, you know, what was right, and he knew how to walk in righteousness. And God knew all of these things about him. But, you know, the end from the beginning, God knew that Joseph would not cave in to the devices of Potiphar's wife, even when he was down there in Egypt, she trying to seduce him and all that. Joseph standing in his moral integrity, even though he didn't have a law that says thou shalt not commit adultery. There was no such law at that time. But, or whatever, or sleep with another man's wife. But he knew in his heart that it would be a great evil. God knew all these things about him. But before we get to Egypt, he was a young man that dreams dreams. Well, let's talk about dreams for a minute. I mean, there's physical dream that we dream, but there's also dream that we dream, which can be like a plan, our intentions, our goals, aspirations, or whatever you want to call it. So whatever your dream is, you might even dream of, and I like to encourage people to dream big. if you dream little, then you cannot accomplish, you know, bigger than those dreams. But, you know, dream big, you know, see a greater horizon, you know, think large, you know. In fact, you know, Isaiah 54 tells us that. He said, look, enlarge the place of your tents. You know, stretch forth the habitations, you know, the curtains of your habitations and all that. That's Isaiah 54 and verse 2. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch forth the curtains of your habitations. Lengthen your cords. Spare not. You know, think big. Strengthen your stakes. Why? Because you are fixing to break forth on the right and on the left. You know, and great things are coming. Even to your children. So your children shall inherit even from all the things that the Gentiles gather together. Come back to your children. You know, and so forth. You know, but you must think big. If you don't think small, because our God is big. Now, some people don't like to think big. They just think small. Well, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. I mean, if you think small, then, you know, unfortunately, that's all you can have. And if you think big, you know, that's all you can. I mean, you can, the more you can think, remember, God said, look, whatever you can think, whatever you can ask, the Lord can outdo it. You know, he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. You know, and so it's important for us to think bigger, to dream bigger. You know, the more you can think, the more you can dream, the Lord is able to even exceed that. Glory to God. You know, so now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above. You know that scripture, Ephesians 3 and 20. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. The beauty of this verse is that two things. He didn't stop at all that we ask. We may be asking for something, but he's even talking about all that you think. That's even things that you can imagine. But how does he do it? According to the power that worketh in us. In other words, the scope of your horizon, the scope of what you can believe. Now, God said to Abraham in Genesis 13, you heard me quote these scriptures before, but again, it's an encouragement room. So we are reminding ourselves of these things. You know, in Genesis 13, the Lord said to Abraham, and the Lord said to him in verse 14 of Genesis 13, after that Lot was departed from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. Just think, look, try to see, expand your horizon as far out as what you can see for all the land that you can see. Well, I say, we're talking about dreams, Joseph dreams now. You got to dream it. You got to see it. And I've taught people and said, look, the future that you can see today, the future that you see today is where you can get to tomorrow. You got to see it. You got to dream it. So anyway, all the land that you see will I give to you and so forth. Now, this Joseph, he saw some dreams. Now, I don't know whether he was thinking about being great or not, but these dreams came to him anyway. And he was almost second to the last born in the family there. But his father loved him because he was the child of his sweetheart, Rachel. And so, how Laban tricked Jacob and gave him Leah instead of Rachel and all that, But anyway, he dreamed dreams. And in these dreams, he didn't interpret the dreams. The Lord didn't necessarily give him the interpretation. But in these dreams, others thought, when they heard the dreams, that are you saying that we're going to bow down to you? Even his father said, are you saying that even your brethren and we, your parents, will bow down to you? He wasn't saying anything, just told his dreams. But I think he should have kept his mouth shut, not have told them his dreams. But in any case, when they heard those dreams, they were not happy. And he dreamed another dream, and so forth. And they were not happy. So they started to be envious of him. And also, his father, treated him special. And this is a dangerous thing for parents to be doing, to be having favorites, among their children. It only brings hurt in the family. And, Joseph was a favorite of Jacob's because of his son of his old age and son of his sweetheart, and so forth. But it created a lot of problems. His brethren hated him because his father gave him a rainbow coat of different colors that he didn't give to the rest of them. Now, when parents treat this is a bit of digression, but there are lessons as we go along the way. When parents treat their children with favoritism, one over the other, it'll create dissension, it'll create strife, it'll create envy, bitterness, and so on and so forth, and so resentment and all that. And we don't need to do that. The children, now, of course, we know that, parents always have favorites. Be honest and be real. You may have a favorite because the child is just lovable, just does everything that you ask or whatever, and the child just, another child may be just rude and rebellious and everything. So parents tend to, favor, the child that, you know, the love and so forth. But you got to be careful how you do it, because, you know, when you, you know, if you put it in their face, like give this one, like the father did in this case, put it in the face of the others, give him a rainbow coat and everything, you know, treated him special. When you put it in their face like that, they're going to start to be envious. And of course, Joseph himself did not have prudence at the time. Didn't have that prudence to, you know, keep his mouth shut. You don't need to tell them these dreams. It's none of their concern. You know, discretion is also something that says, look, on a need to know basis. You know, these folks didn't need to know. It was your dream. You keep it to yourself. You know, once you reveal the dream, the enemy is going to start plotting against it. You know, so, but of course, he did anyway. But nonetheless, even in spite of his mistakes, in spite of his father's mistake, it made, you know, contributing to his brethren being envious against him and all that. And despite all of that, the purpose of God was still going to stand. Now, they began to, when they, he went, father sent him, you know the story, to go and visit his brethren. And of course, you know, father also treated him special, kept him in the house while the others were sent to the field. So all of these things made the brothers to hate him and his dreams, because of his dreams and the rainbow coat, they hated him even more. So, you know, when they came to visit his brethren, they said, wow, here comes this dreamer of dreams. Let's kill him and see what will become of his dreams. And you see, now, and I, you know, one time I was speaking about this at our local church, and I said, look, even your would-be destroyers, those who would destroy your dreams, you say, well, let's kill him and see what will become of his dreams. God will turn them to be destiny helpers, even unknowingly. And let me say that again to you today. Destiny helpers. They wanted to destroy him. Reuben was the first destiny helper, even among his brethren. And Reuben said, look, well, you know, let's not kill him. Let's just throw him over in this pit, because he wanted to come back later on and save him. But while he was away, they had other thoughts. Well, they gave him to that initially, you know, but said, well, you know, he's going to perish in that pit anyway, just as bad. Because Reuben said, let's not shed his blood. But he planned to come back and to get him out of there and deliver him back to his dad. But he couldn't do it. Before they came, while they were eating, you know, while Reuben was not around, they were eating, they saw a band of Ishmaelites out coming. And then Judah was the next destiny helper. He said, oh, why let him rot here in the pit? Just sell him to this. We can make some money off of it. So he did. Two destiny helpers right there. But even all of their wicked plans to sell him into slavery, to get rid of him, they deceived their dad, dipped his blood, coat in blood, and gave it to his their dad and said, well, we found this. And you know, I mean, their hearts were so wicked. They put that man in sorrow many years of his life. And perhaps up to 30 years, we don't know how long, 17, 13, 20 years, you know, that he sorrowed like that, thinking that his son was dead. And this wicked brothers just went on like that. And then you know the rest of the story, on and on and on and on. And every wicked thing and bad thing that happened to Joseph pushed him closer and closer and closer to the fulfillment of those dreams. In fact, there were times that Joseph, he, you know, would have wondered. I mean, because when he got so far away from, you know, Israel, carried him all the way to Egypt. That was Africa, by the way. You know, and the devil would have told him, for instance, you know, when he was in the pit, we'll see what will come of your dreams now. In fact, that's exactly what his brethren said. Devil using that. And then when he was being carried away, you know, as a slave, I mean, a young man that never left home before, all of a sudden being carried away hundreds of miles away from his family. I mean, what would he be thinking? And what would the devil be telling him? And then, you know, but became a slave and everything. I mean, he was a favorite in his father's house. Now, all of a sudden, he's a slave so far away. And there was no phone. There was no phone in those days that he could call home and tell my dad, I'm really okay. Come and get me. There was no such thing. There's no way he could have sent a message home. And so for many years. But, you know, the end of the story is that the counsel of God and the purpose of God in his life will stand. Despite his own mistakes. Yeah, your mistakes will cause you to suffer some loss. I mean, he suffered many years. But God will use the ravenous bird. He will use the wicked devices of the enemy. And he will turn them around even against their own desires to frustrate your dreams, to kill your plans. God will turn those around and make it come back and work for the purpose of God. That's what Romans 8:28 means. He will make all things come out. Evil things, not necessarily good things. Good things are already good. But even the evil things, make them to come to work out for your good. And eventually worked out for his good. But many, many years later, you know, and even the one that he interpreted the dream, the butler and so forth, forgot him there for another 2 years. You know, eventually, when he had an opportunity to come before Pharaoh again, another opportunity to interpret another dream. This was before Pharaoh this time. It led to him being able to use, you know, sound judgment and the spirit of counsel to give advice of what should be done. And Pharaoh recognized that there's nobody like this guy, promoted him to be vice regent. He said, only in the throne will I be greater than you. But everybody else in this land will bow to Joseph. And I am Pharaoh. And you are Joseph. I gave him another name too. And eventually his brothers had to come and bow down to him, just like the dream said, even though they didn't know it was Joseph at the time. But you see how the purpose of God, the plan of God, you know, what God intended for Joseph, even the enemy could not frustrate it. Even his own errors, the errors of his dad and so forth. Yeah, you know, they might have contributed in some way to his sufferings, but God used all those sufferings at the end. And God preserved the life of his dad, you know, until he saw it and said, wow, you know. And so God brought that to pass. We see that Moses was another man. That was, God ordained him that he was going to be a deliverer of the children of Israel. Because God knows all things from the end. I mean, God knows the end from the beginning, rather. So when he was born, of course, these were many, 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 you know, hundreds of years after Joseph. You know, 400 years almost passed. They were there. When he was born, and somehow he ended up in Pharaoh's house. Pharaoh's sister, who didn't have a child, pulled him out of the Nile River when his mother and his older sister Miriam tried to save him from the decree to kill all the male children. You know the story. Eventually, he learned that he was part of the Jews, actually. So he tried to, you know, start fighting for them. They rejected him. You know, they said, look, are you going to now kill me like you killed the Egyptian yesterday? You know, which he killed an Egyptian because of tormenting one of the Jews or some of the Jews. And he hid it, buried him in the ground. And he thought it was something nobody saw. But even his own brethren rejected him. And also he said, this matter is known. So he fled. Well, he was intended, God proposed that he will be the deliverer. And so whether they reject him, whether he flew into the wilderness or not, 40 years passed, he's coming back, you know, there. He began to know that God was going to use him to be a deliverer, but he thought to go about it in his own way before. But all of that, at the end of the day, he came back And he was still that same deliverer. Glory to God. You know, so there are many other stories in the Bible, you know, concerning even Christ himself. The stone which the builders rejected, you know. I mean, everything that they did to try to frustrate the plan of God for Christ to be the Savior, they didn't know that they were actually helping his cause, you know. And even Joseph, I mean, Judas, the Lord said, did I not choose 12 of you and one of you is a devil? And the Lord knew how to even manage that rebellion, that betrayal that was in the group. All of that, the devil was scheming to betray him, to kill him, to do all of these things. But there was a plan that God was bringing by the determinate counsel of God. Foreknowledge of God, his predeterminate counsel, and the foreknowledge of God. He says in Acts chapter 4, verse 11, the stone which was set at naught of you builders, the Lord has made to become the head of the corner. So whether they rejected him or not, he was going to become the Savior and the Deliverer. Now, I can go on and on and on, but let's look about some things that God even said for the believers. The believers. And Jesus said, look, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against this. Matthew 16 and 18. And when Jesus, you know, after Peter answered the question of who do men say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Now, this means that the gates of hell. Now, Jesus didn't say, I will build my church and the gates of hell, you know, will not try. I don't know how else he could have said it. They will try, but they will not prevail. It's not that. I mean, a prevail means you're going to be in a battle. You will be in a battle. You might come up with even some battle scars, but they won't prevail against you. You know, talk about the lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed to take the book and to lose the sails. Well, he prevailed. He was in a battle. I mean, so when you are in a battle, the gates of hell trying to prevent the purposes of God in your life, Jesus said, they will not prevail. Not that they will not try. They will try, but they will not prevail. The reason they will not prevail is because, you know, if you read the stories, I mean, writing some of the exposition of Paul in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, I mean, talk about some incredible things that we see that God has planned for us. For you, that he has planned. Hallelujah. Right from the beginning, we begin to read from Ephesians chapter 1. We'll pick it up right from the beginning at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him. Chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. He already did that. You know, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He has predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his own will. He said, I will do all my pleasure, you know, and my counsel shall stand. The counsel of God concerning you is that you will be conformed to the image of Christ. That's what Romans 8 and 29 says. He predestined us that you will come into his image and you will be like the Christ. This is what he planned from the beginning. And so every frustration, that's the mystery of iniquity, you know, and all of that, that's working against the destination of each one that has come to know the Lord. Your predestination is to become like the Christ. And you will come into, as you know, adoption. Some of you are here, you are believers now. So you come into that adoption of sons, but you are not yet like the Christ in many ways. Neither am I. You know, we're trying and God is helping us. We're not quite yet there. Beloved, you know, what manner of the Lord the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. However, it doth not yet appear. This is 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. It does not yet appear, you know, what we shall be. You know, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall see him like he is, because we shall be like him. We'll see him like he is. And every man that had this hope in himself is purifying himself. So we're working on it. And God is working on us. We're not there yet. But this is the purpose of God concerning that church. We will become like the Christ. So that's what he said from the beginning. Let us make man in our image and after our likeness and so forth. And that this plan of God to have this dominion after we come into his image and likeness, no matter what the devil does about it. And the devil stole this truth from the church. You know, we don't know now that we're supposed to be in his image and likeness. We don't know now that we're supposed to have dominion over all the works of his hands. You know, these truths have been stolen. But nevertheless, the purpose of God will stand. God will restore this knowledge and we will begin to aspire towards it. Back to Ephesians chapter 1. Let me read verses 9 to 12 and I'm going to wrap this up. Then we'll say one more thing and then we'll pray. You know, now, God ordained greatness for us from the beginning. He will put our names in the book of life. Jesus told disciples, don't rejoice just because the devils, you know, are subject to you. But rejoice because your names are written in heaven. You know, so let's pick up here in Ephesians chapter 1 and let's pick it up at verse 9. The Lord hath made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. His good pleasure, his counsel, and his purpose will stand. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, upon the earth, and so on and so forth. Even in him, in whom, this is Christ, we have also obtained an inheritance. And we were predestinated according to his purpose. And, you know, he's the one that worketh all things. To make everything work out to fall in line with the counsel of his own will. Glory to God. Now, so what we need to do is align ourselves with God's thinking. As I have taught it, so will I do it. And it shall come to pass. And I have spoken it concerning you, so will it always come to pass. And the enemy cannot frustrate the word of God. He will try, but he will not prevail. That Jesus already said that. So we know going in, this fight is rigged in our favor already. You know, whatever the enemy will do, you know, the storm will come, try to throw the boat out of, you know, kilter and get you off, you know, and so forth. But Jesus is in the boat. The word already said we're going to the other side. That purpose will be established no matter what. No matter how many storms come along the way. No matter what happens. And now, before we pray, I'm going to read this promise to you point blank now. And we're going to use that to pray. This is my lesson for today and I'm done with it. After I read this next couple of verses. And we're going to pray with this. Now, and many times, God will like to encourage his people, especially when they are discouraged, when we are down and everything like that. And God will tell, you know, the people of Israel in particular, God loved them so dearly. He chose them. But many times they will say, look, God has forgotten us. You know, I mean, the effect of every vision faileth. I mean, we are here languishing away. And yet God says that we are chosen. I mean, what's up with that? You know, and they lose hope. They are discouraged many times and so forth. So occasionally, actually many times, God will send the word of the Lord to them, you know, to encourage them, right? Encourage them. But, you know, sometimes they listen, sometimes they won't. But let's see here a point blank encouragement that the Lord gave, and we are going to use that to encourage ourselves and to pray today. And take it as the word of the Lord. I'm going to read here in Ezekiel chapter 12. It's only two verses that I'm looking to there, but I will, for context, you know, I shall read many of the verses leading up to that. So the Lord began to tell them, I'll start here at verse 20, The cities that, you know, not that one. Let me start at verse 21. And the word of the Lord came unto me saying, Son of man, what is this proverb that you have in the land of Egypt saying, the days are prolonged and every vision faileth? You know, I mean, the Lord doesn't care about us. We are here. All the word that the Lord has said to us fail. Doesn't come to pass. And the days are prolonged. I mean, we've been waiting now. I mean, some people at the beginning of this year. Now, notice we're right there now. At the, almost at the close of the year. Today is day 12 of month 12 of this year. And that's significant even in itself. You know, but people are saying, you know, that when we started out this year, many people had plans. You know, they had plans of what they would do. You know, plans, hopes, you know, of what they would want to accomplish throughout the year. And maybe even there was some, you know, some prophetic guidance that the Lord gave. You know, but now we're in the 12th month. And maybe some of those things have yet to be accomplished, or you are yet to come into fulfillment of those things. You know, so you now say, well, the effect of this vision faileth. The days are prolonged. You know, these things are not coming to pass. The end of the year is almost on us. So here's what the Lord said for all those situations. You know, son of man, what is this proverb that you have in the land of Israel saying the days are prolonged and the effect of every vision failed? Tell them therefore, I will make this proverb to cease. Glory to God. They shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. But say unto them that days are at hand. And I want to say unto you today, glory to God, prophetically from this word, that days are now at hand. And if there was anything that you dreamed about, anything that you imagined, even from the beginning of the year, as you get close now to the end of the year, you know, and on this 12th day of this 12th month of this year, so we're about to get into it. And so prophetic that now you will say, the Lord told him to tell them that the days are now at hand and the effect of every vision and every dream just around the corner. You know, and there will be no more vain visions, none of these things. For I am the Lord. Verse 25. Verse 25 and verse 28 is really where I'm going here. For I am the Lord and I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall no more be prolonged. Glory to God. For in your days, O rebellious house. Now, that's not a good thing to be called rebellious. Now, let's not be rebellious. For in your days, O children of the Lord, will I say the word and will perform it, saith the Lord God. Now, the effect of the vision shall no longer fail. The word that he has said shall no longer fail. Glory to God. And they said, you know, they said, you know, and the Lord said to him again, the, you know, the people say, Why do the people of Israel say that the vision that he seeth is for many days? And he prophesied of times that are still afar off. You know, and all these things. And so the Lord said, therefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, in verse 28, there shall none of my words be prolonged anymore. Glory to God. But the word which I have spoken concerning you shall be done, saith the Lord. My purpose concerning you shall now be fulfilled. My counsel shall stand concerning you. I will hasten it. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. The Lord watches over the word that he has spoken, the one that you yourself have spoken. As you have uttered it before the Lord, he said, what you have spoken in my ears, that will I do. Now, if you have declared any things, you know, from the beginning of the year until now, if you were believing for anything and it looked like, oh, well, the devil has frustrated it, the devil has, you know, put a damper on it, hemmed you in with yokes, with gates and, you know, of iron bars and so forth, the Lord said, no, there'll be no more delay. Time no longer. I will now do, glory to God, the words that I have spoken shall no more be delayed. My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure, saith the Lord. My purpose concerning your life shall stand. The enemy cannot frustrate it. On the other hand, God will frustrate all the tokens of the liars. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now that's our lesson this morning, and we are going to pray. Hallelujah. And if you are in the room, glory to God. We are going to pray. Now, we're going to pray because that's what we do, is to pray. But when we pray, what we do is, you know, to make the prayer effective, you got to pray according to the word of God. You can't just be praying anything. You know, so we pray according to the word of God. We got to remember, who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass? Lamentation 3 and 37, when the Lord has not commanded. Neither can the devil say something and come to pass when that's not what God commanded concerning you. So we should never be afraid of the plans of the enemy. As many tokens of lies. One day I will come and describe how all those tokens try to work and how they actually work, but how the Lord also frustrates each one of them. But today, suffice it to say that the Lord will frustrate the tokens of the enemies, and the word of the Lord will come to pass. Now, the word of God is the self-sustaining. And it's self-sustaining and self, you know, existent and self-sustaining. It will sustain itself. And his purpose in your life shall be fulfilled in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I know that my wife will be dropping in a few minutes to the other declaration room. So you can take the first prayer, honey, if you're still there. And let's pray. And then I'm going to come back after your prayer and pray some more with the people that are in the room. Go ahead.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much for this message. God bless you. God increase you. And more anointing in Jesus' name. Ah, Lord, we are so grateful for this encouragement. Lord, that you have remembered us at this time, to send your word. The words that you sent your word and it healed the people. Lord, you have sent your word. Father, it will heal our hearts of any wrongdoing, of any plan of the enemy to kill, to steal, or to destroy. We thank you, Lord, because all things work together for good for those that love God. We know we love you. And all things will work together for our good. All these words that we have listened to, Lord, will work for our good in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places, and the weapons of our warfare that are not carnal, but they are mighty and spiritual, to the pulling down of strongholds. Therefore, Lord, we know that we are in a warfare, and we know that you have won the battle for us. And we just have to keep fighting. Lord, we have encouraged us this morning to keep fighting the battle and to win the battle by all means, because you have won the battle. Thank you, Lord, that even the things that are planned to upset us, to move our foot, Lord, you have turned it around. You will turn it around for our good, because that's what your word says, that all things will work together for our good. Even when what the enemy meant to upset us, whatever the enemy planned, you know it and you can checkmate the enemy. Thank you, Lord, because you have given us your spirit to be able to discern. Give us, O Lord, the spirit of discernment. Lord, to be able to discern the plans and of the wicked one and to walk in your truth, because your word is truth. Thank you, Lord, because you have blessed us. Everything we walk, even as you have proposed in our lives and in the lives of our children. Even in our health also, you will bless our health. You will bless our uprising and our down sitting. In the name of Jesus, from this day forth and forevermore. We love you, Lord. We love you. All that you're doing for us, preparing us. He said, it has not yet appeared what we shall be. But we know we are moving on to that great manifestation of the sons of God. Lord, and when everything will be fulfilled, all the plans that you have for us, oh Lord, Lord, will be performed in our lives. And we begin to, we are ready. And when you say, come up hither, we will be ready to go. We thank you and we bless your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, I have prayed. Amen. Thank you for allowing me to pray.
Amen. Thank you so much, honey. I know you have to go to the declaration room. Praise the Lord. Have a good time there. And we'll continue here. Thank you so much for that. Thank you, everyone that's in the room. I've sent invitations to just about everybody that I see. I may miss one person or the other. I don't know. But, you know, I've tried to send invitation to everybody. You know, if you want to come to the stage and give your reaction, feel free to do that. That's really good. I enjoy that oftentimes, as you know. And also, we want to, you know, stand in the declaration of the word of God. You know, we want to stand in the declaration of the word of God. And if you cannot come to the stage, that's fine. You can post your comment in the chat room. You know, we're just a few, you know, we're not that many here. So, you know, let's make it cozy and share with one another. And the summary of it all today is this. What God has proposed in your life, that will stand. The plans of God for your life, that will stand. And those plans for you, they are unique. It's just like it's coded inside your fingerprint. That's right. You heard it. I say it again. Plans of God for you are coded inside your fingerprint. And only God can decode it. Nobody else. And it cannot match anybody else's. They may look similar. The patterns may look similar, but they are unique. And of all of the billions and who knows, even trillions of people that have come through this earth, for everyone's fingerprints to still be unique, that's the mind of the Holy Spirit. Only Him can compute that like that. And, you know, but whatever He has in there, it'll come to pass. The enemy cannot foul it up. And even you yourself, you know, but if we don't use wisdom, we'll suffer a lot along the way. So one of the things we're going to be praying for in the room today is that, look, the Lord should save us from ourselves even. Sometimes due to foolishness and lack of wisdom, lack of counsel, you know, and then we don't use prudence and, you know, sound judgment. We fall into a lot of troubles, which if we use wisdom and counsel in the first place, we could have avoided. But nevertheless, the counsel of God concerning your life will stand. This is an encouragement for us today to know. And God also said that my words shall no longer be prolonged. It is time. You know, the things that we've looked for and say, well, you know, these things are far off. God said, no, it's right around the corner. Glory to God. You know, so that's our encouragement this morning.